Random House Audio presents The Last Best Hope, Restoring Conservatism and America's Promise by Joe Scarborough. This is Joe Scarborough. To conservatives of all parties. Introduction. The Way Back. By the second year of his presidency, Abraham Lincoln should have been a demoralized man. Lincoln's military command had stumbled badly through the opening stages of the Civil War. By 1862, the embattled president faced defiance from his generals, failure from his armies, and humiliation across the globe. By spring, France and Britain were on the verge of recognizing the Confederacy, and by summer, Robert E. Lee was chasing Union forces across the Potomac. The president's army would be forced to make a hasty retreat to prepare for the defense of the nation's capital. By the end of that terrible year, Abraham Lincoln delivered a message to Congress that was as defiant as it was determined. On December 1st, 1862, that great man told Congress that history left them no choice but to preserve the American Union as the last best hope on earth. "The dogmas of the quiet past are inadequate to the stormy present," Abraham Lincoln said. "The occasion is piled high with difficulty, and we must rise with the occasion. As our case is new, so must we think anew and act anew. We must disenthrall ourselves, and then we shall save our country." As it was in Lincoln's time, so it is in ours. American leaders do not face a nation divided by war or shamed by the institution of slavery. But as with every generation since 1776, we have no choice but to face a difficult occasion that's piled high before us and rise to that challenge. Our leaders cannot escape history any more than they can ensure our future unless they begin again to think anew. It is especially critical at this chapter in our nation's history for conservatives to set aside the dogmas of the quiet past and instead explain their vision to a new generation. This book will lay out that vision. Our challenges are great, but they can be met by men and women of good faith who are guided by restraint and prudence instead of rabid, unyielding ideologies. It is time again for conservatives to lead America into the future. But before we figure out how to do that, let's first talk about how conservatism has been defined throughout our history. As we begin, let me ask you to set aside everything Americans think they know about what it means to be conservative. Forget that conservatives are now associated with military expansion, Wall Street recklessness, and ideological conformity. Instead, try to imagine that conservatism is not a political movement at all, but rather a guiding set of principles grounded in reality and restraint, and flexible enough to sustain America through the next century. Moving forward, we must embrace our first principles so we can revive what Russell Kirk once called the forgotten genius of conservatism. British statesman Edmund Burke, the movement's founder, gained international attention 200 years ago with a stinging critique of the French Revolution. Burke and his followers championed customs and conventions that promoted social stability across the ages while declaring intellectual war against dogmas of all designs. It was, after all, rabid ideologues who very nearly torched Notre Dame and destroyed French civilization. Mr. Kirk summed up Burke's distrust of dogma in his classic, The Conservative Mind. "A terrestrial paradise cannot be contrived by metaphysical enthusiasts, yet an earthly hell can be arranged readily enough by ideologues of one stamp or another." William Buckley's biographer, Sam Tannenhaus, believes that Burke would be shocked by modern conservatism. After all, the movement's founder had a belief system that was not based on ideological guidelines, but rather on his contempt for all ideologies. Conservatives, for the better part of the last 200 years, followed Burke's lead in shunning rigid dogma and instead attached themselves to reality, restraint, custom, and convention. But that approach is a far cry from where Republicans have ventured over the last generation. Answering radicalism with radicalism. For a quarter century, we conservatives have allowed ourselves to be defined too easily as rigid ideologues, blindly faithful to an unyielding agenda. As a member of the 1994 Republican Revolution, I plead guilty as charged. When conservatives stormed Capitol Hill that year, we sought nothing less than the dramatic transformation of Washington and America. We believed that the radicalism of the 1960s needed to be counterbalanced by radicalism from the right. I remember feeling elated as incoming GOP congressmen delivered one speech after another that endorsed radical change. We would seek nothing less than the destruction of the 1960s ethos and the man that most embodied that decade, Bill Clinton. Our drive for change led to a balanced budget, welfare reform, and the remaking of Congress as a political institution. But the way we fought those political battles also resulted in a government shutdown, bitter partisanship, and the impeachment of a president. More frustrating was the fact that our perceived extremism also helped re-elect in 1996 the same president we ran against 2 years earlier. We had saved Bill Clinton from political death by coming across as radical to swing voters and making him again appear to be a moderating force in American politics. We had answered radicalism with radicalism, and the costs were high. Conservatives lost their bearings again after September 11th. President Bush's disciplined response in Afghanistan devolved over time into a foreign policy approach that guaranteed the U.S. military alone would end tyranny across the world. The Republican president's second inaugural address contained utopian pronouncements so grand that they would have made Woodrow Wilson skittish. Once again, politicians who described themselves as conservatives answered radicalism with rigid dogma. And once again, the victories gained came at a terrible cost. My conclusions shouldn't be seen as a criticism of George W. Bush, but rather as a reminder to all of us. Besides, it would be disingenuous to suggest that I'd been anything other than the most conservative of conservatives over the past 15 years. While in Congress, I supported the government shutdown, criticized Newt Gingrich for not being conservative enough on spending and taxes, had 100% ratings with the NRA and pro-life groups, voted to impeach Bill Clinton twice, worked tirelessly for George W. Bush during the 2000 Florida recount, supported the war in Afghanistan, supported the war in Iraq, and campaigned for George W. Bush's re-election in 2004. Less government, more consistency. I was, to paraphrase St. Paul, a conservative's conservative, and I still believe that Republican politicians usually lose elections not because they're too conservative, but because they stray too far from William Buckley's worldview. But in this book, I will tell you some ways I believe our conservative approach needs to be modified and enlarged. None of those changes discussed here involve a rethinking of the relationship between the individual and the government. That is the essential relationship we have to get right in our republic if it's to work, and one that must again be our primary focus. I start this book where I began 15 years ago in Congress. I am a conservative of libertarian tilt, and I want the federal government out of our pocketbooks and out of our bedrooms. That last demand may be difficult for some of my friends to hear. I'll share my thoughts on that subject later, but I will note here that we conservatives can no longer champion federalism in one area and dismiss it in another. Either we follow the Founding Fathers' wisdom contained in the 10th Amendment and honor the Constitution's meaning, or we do not. That means if the Iowa Supreme Court overturns the popular will of the people by nullifying a gay marriage ban, well, conservatives should respect Iowa's constitutional right to settle the matter and keep the federal government out of the state's business. We cannot claim the constitutional high ground in our efforts to fight the...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?